Welcome to The Lamb Lens, where we bring clarity to the world of finance. I'm Kelsey Berryman, Senior Wealth Strategy Associate at The Lamb Group, joined by Evans Lamb, Managing Director, Wealth Management, and Senior Portfolio Manager at UBS Financial Services, Inc. Our team is located in Pasadena, California, and you can reach out to us at evans.lamb@ubs.com. Our goal is simple: to educate, debunk financial myths, and share our team's lens on the markets.
Welcome to this week's Lamb Lens. I am Nicole Chen, Client Associate at the Lamb Group at UBS Financial Services, Inc., located in Pasadena. Today, we're going to be talking about money, inflation, and why they're inseparable. This episode is about the basics, but the meaningful basics: what money actually is, how currencies function, and why inflation isn't just related to money, but inseparable from them. At its core, money serves three roles: a medium of exchange, a store of value, and a unit of account. What's different about modern money is that it isn't backed by gold, it's backed by confidence. Confidence that a dollar saved today still has meaning tomorrow, and inflation is what tests that confidence. That's why stable inflation is essential for money to remain as a reliable store of value, not just to central banks, but to investors. When inflation expectations are stable, capital can be allocated, risk can be priced, and markets can function. There are two dominant ways economists and investors think about why inflation happens. The Keynesian view says that inflation rises when demand outpaces supply, often driven by government spending. A simple example is the post-pandemic stimulus. Large fiscal transfers and infrastructure spending increased household cash balances, boosted consumption, and pushed demand above what supply chains could immediately support. From this perspective, the inflation surged following the COVID pandemic. Using the Keynesian view, inflation levels would have skyrocketed now, given the $1 trillion fiscal deficit and military spendings in quarter one of 2026. The monetary view focuses less on spendings and more on how much money exists and how freely it circulates, using measures like M1, which is cash, and M2, which is savings. If money is created but remains idle, sitting in savings, for example, inflation may not rise as much. Inflation becomes persistent only when money supplies continues to expand and flow through the economy. As of February 2026, U.S. M2 money supply reached a record of $22.67 trillion, surpassing its March 2022 peak. However, since 2022, M2 growth has slowed sharply and even contracted, falling from an average of a 6.2% growth between the 2000s and 2026 to 4.8% year over year last year. This means that inflation has actually been controlled rather well. It might sound counterintuitive at first that inflation is controlled, although money supply has reached a peak. The missing piece from this is that GDP growth and economic growth. Growth requires more money in the economy, and in Q4 2025, the nominal GDP increased by around 5.3%. The GDP growth of 5.3 exceeds the 4.8% growth in M2. Since GDP exceeds M2, it means that the Fed has done a good job in containing inflation. As we move further into the year, global markets are digesting a renewed period of geopolitical tension centered in the Middle East, particularly involving Iran. Energy prices often dominate inflation headlines, but they are best understood as temporary price shocks and not structural inflation drivers. Oil and gasoline spikes push the headline inflation higher in the short term, but they do not usually destabilize long-term inflation unless expectations become unanchored. When expectations are stable, these shocks tend to fade in economic importance over time. Despite these unsettling inflation headlines, markets have actually held up relatively well. Interest rates are still expected to be on the path of lowering, and institutional capital is largely aligned with the central bank's policy path. Market-based measures of expected inflation have been far more stable than consumer surveys, which helps explain why equity and credit markets did not collapse. Markets are effectively saying inflation is a problem, but it's a manageable one. Now, whether you prefer Keynesian or monetary explanations, both arrive at the same conclusion. The Fed's credibility is what ultimately matters. as long as the Fed is trusted to act consistently and transparently, money keeps working and markets remain functional. That credibility is the foundation we build on going forward. In the next episode, we'll discuss more about consumer behavior, the Fed's role, and managing inflation in the economy.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of LAM Lens. You can visit us at advisors.ubs.com/the LAM Group for more information. See you next week. This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review the client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.